Oh, we as a group of God's people certainly sing out and we give up our praise and our honor to God, but I have to say we were all outshined this morning by Finn. Finn, do not ever lose that great and precious voice you have. I tell you, he was singing, we were battling there, I think, and it was great. Keep it up. Because that is the desire of us all, is to praise and honor our God. I want to begin this morning by reading you a job description. And I'd like for you to see if you can figure out what that job is. It says, organization seeks strong male leaders to be planners, problem solvers, and managers of people. The job involves managing another's valued possessions, setting and achieving group and individual goals, leading stubborn and difficult people while attending to their needs. The job requires intimate knowledge of the organization's life guide, ability to work with others, communicate and teach those people under your oversight. Applicants must have a passion for people, willing to work long hours and sacrifice personal desires and goals. Salary is optional, but seeking volunteers for this position. Now, how many of us would desire that job? Probably not many of us. It doesn't really have that much appeal. I mean, it's not very glamorous as we think about that job description. It's not something that we go, wow, that's what I want to do. It doesn't have the appeal of being a CEO of a company. It doesn't have the appeal of being a pro football player. Yet God is looking for men to step into this role. God is looking for women who will be wives and will encourage their husbands in this role. God is looking for shepherds. Men, do we desire this job? Parents, do we encourage our children to pursue being a shepherd like we do being whatever they want to be when they grow up? While we may not see the glory of this role, God sees the glory. And what I hope that we can do today is look at this and see the glory that God associates with being a shepherd and the desire that God wants for more and more men to be shepherds. I want us to do that by first just asking the question, well, why do we need shepherds? And we first want to go to the Good Shepherd in John 10, verses 11 through 16, as was read for us. We see that Jesus assigns this role to himself. Now think about it. Can you picture Jesus being a shepherd? That's what he calls himself. That's what he says he is. He says, I will protect people even to die for them. As a shepherd, notice what he does. If you go up back up to John 10, there in verses 3 and 4, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. There is an intimate relationship that we see here. That he is leading, he knows them by name, he is protecting them, he goes before them. That's this role of the shepherd. And that's what Jesus says. That's who I am. That's what I am doing for you. But I want you to notice something else, in that Jesus calls us sheep. Now, before we talk about sheep, I want you to notice what he didn't call us. He didn't call us lions. He didn't call us eagles. He didn't call us bears. He didn't even call us mice. Because all of those can survive on their own. Sheep are the most ignorant, directionless, no survival instinct animals that God has created. They need a leader. It has been said that they cannot go to a predetermined place by themselves. That is, they can't go out to the pasture and then find their way back at night to the fold. They're directionless. Another place I was reading said, if there is green pasture even a mile away, the sheep can't find it. Now, no matter what we may think of all of our accomplishments, of all that we can do, God still sees us as sheep. We need someone to lead us and to help us on our spiritual journey. And so that brings us then to realize that we have a threefold need as sheep. Number one, I would say we need leadership. Peter exhorted the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. There he says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Now, oversight means to look after, to care for. So Peter's saying, those leaders, those shepherds, care for these sheep. Look out for them. We need men to guide us so that we don't go down the wrong path. We need men to help us set spiritual goals for ourselves and as a group, and to achieve those goals. And to realize that we all have troubles and weaknesses and sin that is in our life and comes into our life that we need help with sometimes. I need help. We all need help on our spiritual journey. We need leadership. We need protection. There are spiritual dangers that lie all around us, but a lot of times we have blinders on. We don't want to see it. But Paul instructs the shepherds in Ephesians, or the Ephesian shepherds in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He tells them, he says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Satan is seeking to devour us. That's what Peter tells us. And Satan's going to use whatever tactics he can to do that. He's going to exploit our weaknesses. He's going to use false teaching. He's going to use all of us to get at each other. Sometimes, haven't you seen those times where people, they just get at each other, they're knocking heads, and they're not focused on anything else outside, but just what is right there in front of them. Satan uses that to destroy us. So the flock of God needs both outward protection and inward protection as well. We have a need to be fed. Just like our spirit, our physical lives, we need food. Well, we need spiritual food. We need a constant diet of spiritual food. Well, Paul tells Titus, as he tells him to appoint men, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, he tells him that these men need to be those that would hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he may be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. So he's saying there, I want you to be able to teach these sheep. And when somebody comes in and says something different from what God says, you need to be able to say, look, that's not right. And here's why. Here's God's word. We all need to be studying and understanding God's word. He says to the elders in 1 Timothy, as he's speaking there to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, to those elders who are worthy of double honor. Not just the idea of the honor that we show to them, the respect that we show to them, but even a monetary idea. He says to them that especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. You see, the way that we come to know God, the way that we grow and mature as Christians, as saints, is through His Word. And we need to be taught, we need to be encouraged in God's Word. And if we have all of that need, notice then that God calls spiritual men to fill this vital role. That He entrusts shepherds with His most precious possession, His children. Now, let me ask you this. Parents, who would you typically entrust your children to? If you're going out, say you're going to go out on a date. Are you going to entrust your children to just anybody? Probably not. You're going to have a certain set of requirements, a certain set of guides that you're saying, look, I want you to be a responsible person because I'm giving my children into your care. That's what God is doing with shepherds. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, there it says, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward. A steward has the responsibility over the master's household. God is entrusting these men with the souls of His creation. Consider for just a moment if there are no shepherds. We find that actually in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God has charged men, these leaders of Israel, to be the shepherds. But what we find is that they're not doing that. And notice what He says there, beginning in verse 4. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to seek and search for them. Now God is giving a picture. He's scolding those who should be shepherds of Israel, and they weren't. But notice what happens here with the sheep. When the sheep are just left to themselves, God says, this is what happens. Consider a group of sheep that just go their own way without leadership. How much would be accomplished here if there was no leadership within our group? I mean, just think about it. What would we do? How do you think VBS would get accomplished? I'm saying if everybody just said, I'm just going to do whatever I want, it wouldn't. Because we all are working together, we all have our roles, we have direction. All of that comes from leadership. But not just VBS, anything that we seek to do, if we are without leadership, we just go our own way. Consider that sheep typically have this lack of alertness. And are we all saying, okay, I'm ready, I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm making sure that there's no false teaching, there's nothing that is going on that is not according to God's Word? We'd like to say all of us are probably doing it, but maybe not. That's the role, part of the role of shepherds. There's a tendency in today's society to bring man's ideas into worship. Oh man, doesn't this sound much better? Doesn't this look much better than rather than just saying, well, what does God want? Are we watching out for that? Consider if there are no shepherds, how internal squabbles between two saints explodes into a major issue. Have you ever been in those congregations where nobody gets anything done because people have chosen sides over one small issue of two people? And it's either, are you on side A or are you on side B? And you don't get anything done because if you're on side B, well, you can't talk to side A. Happens when there's no leadership. Or consider if there is no leadership, the spiritual food becomes in short supply. Yes, all of us are to be seeking and fulfilling ourselves with God's word. But as a group of saints, if there is no leadership, who's to decide how much milk versus how much meat the group gets? You see, in today's society, and I would say today's model in religious ways or organizations, is completely different from God's model. The model today is, let's make the preacher the pastor. And there are many places, many groups of saints that have gone or have existed without shepherds for so long, they just say, well, no, we're doing okay without shepherds. We've got a preacher, and he can do it. So we don't need anything else. Or if we go and we see that in the religious world today. If I go and if I'm talking with somebody and I introduce myself for the first time, I say, hey, I'm Adam. And they say, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm a preacher. Oh, you're a pastor. Well, no, I'm not. Not according to God's word. Now, I understand what they're saying, that I'm fitting this mold of what everybody now says a preacher is the pastor. That's not what God's word says. That's not God's model for his saints. It is a group of spiritually mature men leading according to his word. Well, we ask then, what do shepherds look like? I mean, if you just had to narrow it down, what do they look like? How can you identify a shepherd? Well, they look like Christ, to put it pure and simply. Jesus is the model for our shepherds to follow. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, as Peter there is talking with the elders, he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Men who seek to be shepherds will pattern their life after Christ. Their life is defined by humility. Their goal in life is not self, but to put others first. They are not looking to stand out above others, but to seek ways to elevate others. They're not looking for the title. They're not looking to say, well, if you're going to start appointing elders, my name better be on the list. And sadly enough, I know of places where that is actually what some men have said. It's not about the title, but it's about humility. Just as our Lord was humble. They are servants. Jesus showed that true leadership comes through service. We call it servant leadership. That the elders' focus will be on meeting the needs of the sheep. Alexander Strauch said it this way. True elders suffer and bear the brunt of difficult people and problems so that the lambs are not bruised. They lose sleep so that others may rest. They make great personal sacrifices of time and energy for the welfare of others. And in so doing, they lead then by example, that we can look to how they're conducting their lives and say, that's what I need to pattern. Not because they're striking out and doing things all on their own, but they are patterning their lives after Jesus Christ. They are filled with compassion. The shepherd is the one who washes the cuts of the sheep and bandages their wounds. You know, when everyone is aggravated at that one person because they continue to fail, you know that person, right? that you're trying to count on them, and this is like the 16th millionth time that, you know, you're saying, okay, hey, I'm going to give so-and-so another chance, and I'm going to see if they'll do this, and I'm going to rely on them. And then they don't show up for you. And we all just get aggravated and say, well, what's the use? Just forget it. The shepherd's there saying, no, 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 no. Let's work with them. Let's get right beside them and lift them up, and we'll walk with them together. That's the compassion of a shepherd. That in strength and gentleness, they are there to help that person be better than they are now. One man said, shepherds love people and are fervently involved with them. They are patient and long-suffering with people. You think about us and how we are, especially when we're hurt. We can have a tendency to lash out just like a wounded animal does. The shepherd doesn't blow up when those things happen to them. But they stay calm and they bear the misunderstandings and sin of others so that the assembly may live in peace. You see, to see a shepherd is to see the reflection of Christ. Well, the last question we want to ask then is, when does a man become a shepherd? And my answer is this: now. Because when we think about it, a man and a woman don't become shepherds and shepherds' wives at age 50 or 60 or 70. You don't develop into that when you get to age 50. It's like, oh, hey, you don't flip a switch and go, great, I'm elder material now. That doesn't happen that way. The qualities that God desires in shepherds and shepherds' wives must be cultivated over a life of service to God. What does that mean? That means we start young. And recognize the value and importance that God places upon shepherds and shepherds' wives. That God values the work of a shepherd more than he does a CEO. Not to knock anybody who's a CEO. But God values that work of the shepherd more than the pro football player. Not to knock a pro football player. But God says, this is more important to me. And what is important to God must be important. It means that we will begin young to develop our character, to be a reflection of Jesus. That we will start now to develop our compassion and our patience with people. We're actually going to be having a class starting in May to help develop men and women to fit into that role, to fill that role. Not to say, okay, well, wait a minute, let's think about it when I'm 50 or 60. No, it's now. How are we thinking about our children? How do we prep them? Do we prepare them? Do we talk about with our children what our shepherds do? Do we teach them to respect our shepherds? To show them the value that God places upon shepherds, do we encourage them to be the next generation of shepherds? Or do we say, whew, I see what our shepherds deal with, and son, daughter, I don't want you to have anything to do with that. Don't damage the next generation of shepherds by saying that. This is what God values. And what I want us to see is a true shepherd is a man who is doing the work of a shepherd long before he is appointed to that role. A true shepherd's wife is a woman who is encouraging and helping her husband long before he's ever given that title. Not because we're saying, well, let's just, maybe one day I can get that honor. It's nothing to do with that. It's that we see souls in need. And we say, I've got to go help them. I feel this need, this something inside me that says, here is someone who is hurting, let me go help. You see, that's what we all should be doing in this family of God. So as we conclude this morning, who will apply for this job? That's a question I just want anyone and everyone to ask themselves. Because the Lord's body is in need of more shepherds. I don't know the numbers, but I would take a guess that just in the congregations within the United States, those congregations that have leadership have shepherds, and I don't even want to put a percentage on it, but what I would say is there are probably fewer congregations who have leadership than congregations that do have leadership. And that's on us. Because we're not teaching our children, we're not showing them the value that God places upon shepherds and upon shepherds' wives. Think about this. Talk to your children to show them what God values and what God desires. Do you desire the crooked staff? This morning, though, God is calling. The Good Shepherd is calling. Are you that sheep that's out in the cold? That's in that valley of darkness covered by sin? The Good Shepherd is calling you to come home. He says, I will take you, I will wash your wounds, I'll bandage you up, I'll remove the sin, because I have died for you. He says, come. Are you a sheep that's sort of gone off on your own? And you've gotten to that point where you're like, I don't know which way's right and which way's left. Jesus is searching for you. He's gone out of the fold and he's searching. He wants you to come back because he knows it's better with him than out there on your own. If you need him in any way, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?